Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
It's a great shot, beautiful ocean out there in Brooklyn Bridge.
It's East River. Yes,
that's a beautiful ocean.
I'm just so tired of seeing Patrick Mahomes throw interceptions where the ball just pops out of the receiver's hands, man. Yeah. Feels like it happens so many times this year for the Chiefs. So many, just catch the ball.
But that's why I try to warn you pundits. When y'all look up and see people's interception total, y'all always sitting around talking about, he threw 10 interceptions. Like, no, he didn't throw 10. Cut it in half. Always cut it in half.
Why isn't there a separate stat for an interception that hits the receiver first? There should be.
I don't know.
You know what? What do we call it? Let's do it right now. What do we call it?
Yeah.
Right? We got to name it. That's what we should say.
Assist INT.
Yeah, assisted interception.
Assisted interception. I like that.
Yeah, assisted. Me too.
Assist INT, I like that.
Yeah.
Let's start that official stat.
Because even when you look at, like, Bryce Young, who's probably going to win the Heisman, 43 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, I bet you, without even looking and knowing, 3 of those damn interceptions are not his fault.
43-4. By the way, with over 4,000 yards for Bryce
Young. So it's like, you look at Patrick Mahomes, same thing. You look at all these quarterbacks. Even as crazy as it may sound, Jameis Winston's 30 INTs. His own receiver said it. He said, man, a lot of those interceptions were on us. Bad routes and dropping the football.
Happened to Andy Dalton twice the other day for the Bears.
See?
Like two catches that were down, ball pops out.
It really would help clarify quarterback play. You know, there's a simple stat that would clarify it for people. How many times see it in the receivers bounce off his chest, and the other ten, that's against the quarterback?
As they say, hit him in the bad place. What's the bad place? His hands.
This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Hey, hit him in a bad spot. His hands.
So, guys, Justin Joe Burrow is going to be a money quarterback, I think, as long as he's healthy for his career. I think he's going to be a money-on-the-line type quarterback. But in terms of pure talent, right, and also production since he's been a rookie, Justin Herbert followed up, you could argue, the best rookie season ever. It's way up there. It's in the conversation, right? With this year, he's leading the league in QBR. Right now, he's leading the league in QBR, and his team's a game out of first. So, now look, Key, you have buckets of quarterbacks. I get it. Right?
I have, literally. You see all the ones I play with?
So the top bucket is reserved for guys like Mahomes, Rodgers, and Brady. Then you have a middle bucket where most of the quarterbacks who start are, but some dudes are toward the top of that bucket trying to climb out. Some dudes toward the bottom.
Is Lamar Jackson not in the top tier bucket?
He has a separate bucket for that. But here's the question.
Really got him and Kyler Murray, you turn the bucket over. Not the whole part, but you turn it over and they're sitting on the edge like this together on top of the butt because their styles are so different.
Similar?
No, I mean their
styles. Their styles are similar but different compared to everybody else.
Exactly.
They're in a pail off to the side.
I feel like Lamar Jackson's the MVP. Like, not a lot of quarter, you know? Like, all right, that makes me different.
He's just a football player, though.
I hear you.
Now, Key, what I'm interested in is your top bucket has who? Let's clarify that first.
For the 18,000th time, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. Well, if Deshaun was playing, but he's not, so got to keep him out of there. Who am I missing?
Patrick Mahomes. That's it.
Dak Prescott.
Dak is in the top bucket.
He's in the top bucket.
How?
I mean, the dude is legit.
I know he's legit.
What do you mean?
But he hasn't won. He hasn't won.
We're just talking about. I'm talking about
sheer talent.
Sheer talent as a quarterback. Dude could do it all. He can move the chains with his feet if he need to. He doesn't do it as much anymore because of what happened to his ankle. But when you look at all of that, then climbing out of the second bucket for me would be Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, and Derek Carr. Climbing out of the second bucket. May not get out of the bucket.
But it looks like they're on their way.
Yeah,
so let me ask something. Why is Dak?
Justin Herbert is out of the bucket like this. He's getting ready to land in the other bucket for
he's
sure.
He got 40% of his weight in that other. Okay, yes. So why is Dak in the bucket and Justin Herbert not? Because to my eye, Justin Herbert looks better than Dak to me. He looks like more talented than Dak to me.
Dak is talented.
No, very, I'm not arguing. I'm saying like there's Mahomes and Rodgers.
Because he's the highest paid damn quarterback in the league.
That is,
you clearly,
I didn't say
at the high, you
I didn't say it.
No, you are solidified by how much money they're paying you. Because they're not going to pay somebody that can't play. Mm-hmm. That's not what the league does. They don't make you the highest paid player at your position if you cannot play. I don't give a damn if you in line or not.
Jared Goff.
But he ain't the highest paid player in the league.
They paid him.
But he was never the highest paid quarterback in the league.
All right.
So when you start to look at those sort of things, Justin Herbert's going to get there. He's like literally, like I said, he's hanging out of it. So is Josh Allen.
So let me ask you something, because Dak has not like gone deep in the playoffs and stuff, but it seems to me.
But is it his fault that they ain't going deep in the playoffs, or is it they had bad coaching? Your old offense coordinator, Jason Garrett,
was their head coach. Yeah.
The offensive line was broken down. Mm-hmm. 1 year he was without Zeke. I mean, you got to look at all of it. All he's done since he's come into this league is ball out.
So, but what I'm trying to get at is the fact that Dak is all the way in the bucket and Herbert to you isn't. Is that just an issue that Dak has done it for longer?
He's done it and done it. Herbert, by next year this time, he'll be in the bucket for sure.
Let's put Brady aside because he's just there.
Different.
Okay.
He's 100 years old.
The only dude to me where I look at him and I go, Jay, and I go like eyeball test, like that dude is like a different type of animal. Would be Herbert and like Mahomes and Rodgers are just different. And Herbert's the new guy who I look at and I go, he's like Mahomes and Rodgers.
I can't put either one of those guys in the top tier bucket for me yet, though. Because, for me, like when I look at, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, right? Guys have won championships. And I know what Key is talking about as it relates to talent. I guess my question for Dak is, you throw for 23 touchdowns, 8 interceptions this year. And I know what last year was before he got hurt. He was having an MVP caliber type of year. I just need to see you have a full complete year where you were that dude. Top to bottom. Full complete year where you're just that guy.
And
I haven't seen that yet from Dak yet.
That's fair. But like I said, when you look at Dak Prescott and you look at what he's been able to do, you look at his completion percentage, it's almost at 70% completion percentage.
69%, yeah.
It's pretty good, man. It's pretty damn good.
It's really good.
He's really good. Again, 23-8. What are we going to do with the 8? We're going to cut them right in half. 4 of them interceptions ain't his fault. So if 4 of them is it his fault, he's 23-4. So when you start to look at it, he gets a lot of, I don't want to say negative criticism, but I'm going to say negative criticism. 1, he plays for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and I hate on the Cowboys.
2, well, of course.
Yeah.
2 is how he came into the league. He was a 4th-round pick. So we have this conversation, right? When you are a 4th-rounder, the first thing people do is they push you down automatically because you were a 4th-rounder. If he came into the league and he was the 8th pick of the draft, people would be like, man, he really doing great.
Russell Wilson, something like
that. They push you down. Yeah. That's just the reality of it. Yeah. Facts is facts.
I see Dak J is, to me,
and y'all, Giant fans. So
Dak is in the front.
I love Dak, man. Dak,
me
to
too,
me is,
since
Dak,
his first preseason
is
game
upper,
was obvious.
Upper tier of the second bucket.
Yeah,
like he's getting
too.
Ready to crack into that top tier. I just need to see him crack all
and
the way this
and
year.
And that's fine.
Because I feel like there's some games offensively where I'm like, fine. I just want them to be so much more considering the weapons they have.
That's fine. There's nothing wrong with having him in the second bucket, climbed out, trying to get into it.
I'd rather have that.
I gave him the ladder to climb out of the second bucket and into the other bucket. Yeah. But you can have him waiting with a rope trying to get up while everybody else looking down at him if you choose to do something.
I'd rather have Dak than like Derek Carr or a lot of the guys you just mentioned, Matthew Stafford, all these guys. I'd rather have Dak Prescott.
1,000%.
But there's something about, the ability of Rodgers, Mahomes, and Herbert. Let's, again, leave Tom Brady out. Jumps out at me differently.
Herbert jumps out at you because he's 6'11".
Yeah. Throws 200 miles an hour.
He can run. Yeah. He can run with the best of them.
Yeah.
And he just looks, when he gets off the bus, we feel good.
He looks different.
Opposed to Joe Burrow. Different. Joe Burrow looks soft. Not soft in terms of football. He just looked like he doesn't look. Justin Herbert just look. He got those square chin going with the hair, and he just looks like this.
And that ball comes out of his hand.
Yeah, Joe Burrow just doesn't. He looked like,
Joe Burrow looks like he'll figure out a way to get it done.
Let me figure out a way to get it done.
I don't like putting Kyler Murray in the Lamar Jackson bucket, man. Kyler Murray, even though he can kind of dance and get out of the pocket, like he still has more of a traditional quarterback. And he is at the top of the MVP.
Let me do this for you.
He's in that conversation.
Let me do this for you. I got my basketball buckets.
Okay.
Steph Curry on the bucket by his planet on himself. Ain't nobody ever done the stuff that this kid is doing.
I hear you.
Ever. And probably will never. So he got his own little island because he's not a traditional point guard. He's a point, whatever you want to call it. Point three. You want to call it.
He's making up the point three.
Because you know how you start making up. Yeah, point forward, guard, point center. He's a point three. So you see what I'm saying? You put him over there by himself. Now, who's over there with him? Well, Trae Young is trying to get over there with him, but he's not really over there with him. You know, that's kind of how you got to look at it.
I think you're saying Kyler's a more reliable passer than Lamar.
Which makes him more of a traditional, in my opinion.
Right.
Is it not?
Yeah, but then I take him out because them dudes are all big and they not doing what he does with his legs.
I hear you. But, James Conner has been that solid force from this year. It hasn't been Kyler Murray from a running perspective.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance, offering coverage options as unique as your business. Progressive covers companies of many sizes and specialties. Learn more at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Coming up, why one person thought Joe Burrow had a better day than Justin Herbert.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
ESPN football analyst Dan Orlovsky joins us, giving the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. What's going on, Dan-O?
How are you guys?
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you.
What's crack-a-lacking? I'm hearing that you believe that Joe
Burrow.
Don't do
that. What's crack-a-lacking?
That's Keys Nine.
No, don't do that.
What's crack-a-lacking?
What's Chris Akin?
Jeez.
Dan, I'm hearing that you believe Joe Burrow had a better day than Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Can you get into that?
I could get into it for Dan. He going to break it down from how he threw his back foot hit. He ripped it. Go ahead.
Can I answer now?
Go ahead.
Me. I thought he did. Like, after watching the game, after watching the tape, I thought Joe Burrow played better. Justin Herbert played good. Burrow played better. This is what, like, Herbert made more really far and faster throws. His guys just made plays. But Joe, I thought, made more impressive throws, had less misses. Herbert had a couple misses as well, had less misses. I thought he was more accurate with the football in that 15 to 22-yard range. I thought he threw the ball downfield incredibly well. That touchdown pass to Higgins was sick.
As opposed to the 50-50 ball that Herbert threw.
Herbert had three of them. Now, there were awesome, velocity throws and launches, and you go, wow. And he had one third down early in the game. We moved up and threw across. I'm like, again, Justin played well. I just thought Joe made more impressive throws. That throw is a sick touchdown, but my guy made a play over your guy throw, you know? And so I love the fact that the Chargers finally threw the ball downfield, but I thought Joe Burrow outplayed Justin Herbert when it came to the quarterbacking and the thinking and the accurate throws and the touch-on throws and the tight window throws. I just thought Joe played more. Guys, this game swung yesterday on two plays, really. Mm-hmm. Ja'Marr Chase turns a touchdown into a turnover, so that's 7 points off the board. Chargers get it, score. So that's really a 14-point swing. And then they're driving. Joe Mixon fumbles the ball, and it gets returned for a touchdown. So that's another, we're talking potentially 28-point swing, at least 14.
It's interesting. So the argument is, because of the result of the game and because Justin Herbert does eye-popping things, the impression left is his team won and he's better, right?
Well, that's
But in
that's,
fact, that's not – there's more to it.
That's football for us. Every time his team wins, we go, quarterback played great, and the team loses, and go, quarterback stunk. And that's just not what I felt from that game yesterday.
Dan is right that Joe Burrow may have had a better quarterback game, some of his throws, intermediate stuff, where Justin has the ability to sprint to the right, pull up 5 yards from the sideline, and launch a ball
and
across
Joe can't
the field,
do that.
And Joe cannot do
that's
that.
Can't teach
so
that.
It's like, which one do you want? That's what
both.
The way we look at it, right? I like Justin Herbert, always like Justin Herbert, because I've seen him play so many times. And I just like what he just looks right.
I'm with you, though. I like him, too. I don't want people to think that I'm saying Justin Herbert played bad and it's a mirage. He played good, but I was seeing all the chatter of, wow, Joe Burrow stunk. No, he didn't.
And then when to Dan's point again, the pass to T. Higgins is a sick pass. And the reason it's a sick pass, it's right where Higgins could go get it over the two smaller DBs.
Right.
It wasn't too high. It wasn't too low. All he had to do was go up and get it. You want your quarterback to put the football right over your shoulders to go and get it. I mean, and then Justin Herbert, he knows the 50-50 ball. My guy's going to win, so I'm going to give him a chance.
I mean, it's a two-point game with a minute to go in the third quarter after falling down 24-0. And again, they're driving, and it's the Joe Mixon fumble. So you fall down 24-0. It's a two-minute game. You're making this comeback going into the fourth quarter, and then the fumble really flips the game.
Yesterday was Justin Herbert's 11th career game already with 3-plus touchdown passes. That's the second most through a player's first two seasons in NFL history. Only Dan Marino has more with 13. Stats Incredible is brought to you by My Computer Career Training for a better life.
I wanted to ask you about this, Dan, because I saw you breaking down a tape late last night just about – the Steelers and the Ravens playing.
I know what you're
going to ask. And the offense for the Ravens, can you just break this down for us very quickly? Because I thought it was so interesting to hear.
Not having an answer for zero blitz.
Yes.
This goes back to when the Ravens played Cincinnati in Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's defense started to play zero pressure all the time. So everybody's playing man coverage. It's recess. I got you. I got him. You know, it's a man-on-man, one-on-one. And if you don't have a guy, you're blitzing. And in the Cincinnati game, which is 6 weeks ago, Baltimore showed – when you play zero blitz, it's really two or three things, Jay. Number one, can you protect yourself so something bad doesn't happen? Mm-hmm. And then number two, can you figure out a way to hurt that pressure? And the Ravens haven't even figured out number one. Can you protect yourself so something bad doesn't happen? That's what's our plan? How do we communicate it? Because – early on in that game, Pittsburgh brings the zero pressure in the red zone. Lamar throws the interception, and points come off the board. I think because of that play, they lose the football game. And I know Pittsburgh ends up winning the game. I don't think Pittsburgh won the game. I think Baltimore lost the game by, again, not having an answer versus zero blitz. I thought Lamar took 4 or 5 awful sacks. And I would say this. I think their pass game is one of, if not the sloppiest in the NFL right now. Their pass game is gross. So, Jay, it's just not having a plan. And to do it week after week after week, the Dolphins game on national television, I just don't understand how that well-coached of a football team can still have the same problem.
Yeah, they out there playing sandlot football. I'm just laughing and watching the videos. But it is what it is, though, Dan, right? I mean, that's who he is as a quarterback. So they just let him just do whatever.
And he's covered it up.
And he covers it up. That's right. Just what it is.
It's so sloppy. So how long can he keep covering it up?
Well, we're seeing now, right?
Injuries, Marlon Humphrey, too.
Well,
I think, corners.
I think that when you have this type of player, and Dan knows this, your defense has to be strong. And right now, their defense isn't that strong, but the offense isn't equipped enough to make the adjustment.
Carry it.
They just
if
not.
Marlon, why don't Humphrey they have an answer for zero blitz? Like, I've seen
the answer is the quarterback.
No, but what I'm saying is there should be some guys open, and I've seen him get the ball to open guys. Well, like, he can thread the needle.
So the way to do it really is you've got to be in a situation where if you get 6 yards, it's enough to get a first down. Like, if you're in 3rd and 9, because the ball has to come out of your hands.
Yeah.
Teams will do it in that 3rd and 8-plus situation because they know ball's got to come out, we'll rally,
yeah,
come up and
right
tackle.
At the stick.
So you got to be at a situation where 6 yards can get you something. The ball has to come out quickly. Someone's got to make a play on the perimeter. Perimeter screens are usually – but I don't see them ever go make an adjustment and go, okay, here it comes. Let's bring a tight end in, block him. Lamar, drop back 6 or 7 steps, and we're going to take our shot downfield to Hollywood Brown and see if we can run by it. But there's just no plan. It's almost – if you go back to that game last night, and I think it was 2nd down, where he misses Mark Andrews from the right side, and it was zero blitz again, and Minkah Fitzpatrick is covering him all the way on the left. If you just realize it and know, okay, I got to catch this snap and throw it, Baltimore wins the game. And they're 10-3 or whatever they would be, and we're having a completely different conversation, and they're still the one seed. But not having a plan throughout the week to go into the game going, Lamar, these are the 2 or 3 things that we are going to do. I can't comprehend that staff continuing to do that.
And everything that Dan said, I'm still giving a blank check.
This is not a Lamar thing.
No, I know that. I understand that. No, I'm just saying.
Heck yeah.
I'm still giving him a
He's
blank check.
He's the only reason that they were in the one
seed.
Yeah,
how much
he was
money
the MVP
do you
for. I think the guy who was the MVP for the most seasons this week, most weeks this season for me, he's not at the moment. Tom Brady is. But I think Lamar has spent the most weeks as my MVP this year.
I think, and I agree with that. And Lamar covered up. That's why I say the saying is winning cures everything. No, winning covers everything. And he covered up because they were winning so much. I'd say the MVP is either Brady or Jonathan Taylor still for me.
Jonathan Taylor,
Jonathan Taylor, finally.
16 tutties, man.
Come on, man.
He'll never get it, though.
Bills-Pats tonight. Yeah. After what we saw from the Chiefs' defense last night. Offense still ain't clicking. Defense. How important is Bills-Pats in determining, forget about the East, the AFC, who's the best team in the AFC?
Yeah, it's huge. I think the conversation that we've all started to have over the last week is we'll know if New England over the next 3 or 4 weeks is either the team to beat or just contenders. The thing that I'm watching tonight in this game the most is this. I've loved Mac Jones since he got selected. I think he's awesome. He has not had his rookie game. He has not had that game this year where we go, oh, he's a rookie. Right, so I understand he played at Alabama, and I understand he played in the Iron Bowl, and I understand he played on the road at LSU. The NFL is a different animal. So now you're taking a team that's got expectations on the road, a division opponent versus a really good defense in bad weather. And I know that we have said there's a lot of him that is similar to Tom Brady. If he does this, if he goes and wins this game, we're going to say there's more similarities because this would be a game that somehow, some way, Brady's going to find a way to win with managing the game, managing the ball, not giving it away, being situationally perfect, and then a 2-minute drive to win the game type of thing. And that's what I'm watching is when does the rookie game happen for Mac Jones that we just go, man, he played bad.
Against a good team.
I don't think that that'll happen because of the coaches. They won't put him in that spot. And you say the 2-minute Brady, if you go back to 01, there was no 2-minute Brady as a second-year player in the NFL. 2-minute Brady came later on. It was like, oh, well, I'll go to the bathroom. Tell me who wins because I already kind of seen this movie before. That won't be the case with Mac Jones because Bill and them are not going to put him in a situation to fail. It's always going to be to his benefit.
But if he goes to Dan's point, like, Buffalo is intrinsically a good team. They stumbled
team.
A little bit, but
yeah,
they're Tredavious a good team.
Tredavious being out is a big deal.
They're a good team.
Yes.
You go into, I don't know, you play in the Northeast anyway. You go into bad weather, good team. You're a rookie.
Tough environment.
But one thing Mac hasn't, to Dan's point, is he hasn't played in bad weather, not even in the Northeast, because New England, nothing's been bad in New England.
But yeah. I know that we say a lot, Bill Belichick won't allow him to do that, but I heard David Andrews talking over the weekend. He was talking about the fact that Mac Jones actually has a lot more control on the field than people actually give him credit for. Like, people always act like, oh, it's Bill Belichick who's designing everything for him to do, but it's actually a lot of it is Mac Jones, too.
I
agree with Dan to a degree. Like, when is that rookie play – I mean, we've been talking about
what
it,
happens,
Max, like,
though,
when you
Jay,
have that rookie dip to a degree.
It's not a design of the plays. The plays are the plays. It's putting him in a situation where all of a sudden it's second and 13 and they do something and not protect him. Or it's all of a sudden they want to get to third and four because it's more manageable to be in that third and 15 because they did something stupid. That's what I mean when I say won't allow him to do that.
But I also, what they're doing, Jay, is like, he's got, instead of having 14 different decisions at the line, he's got three.
Three.
You know, they cut the fat. And he gets them into, make sure we get us out of a bad play. Maybe we're not in the perfect play, but get us out of a bad one, get us into a good one. Again, I want to see if he can do that versus a defense. Leslie Frazier, one, should be in the head coaching conversations for next year. A lot of chaos he's going to throw at them. He's going to confuse them. On the road, communicate. That is going to be a wild environment tonight. I love the kid. I just want to see if he'll do it again tonight and not have a slip-up.
Yeah, that's it. Listen, Mac Jones, even though he's not the fastest, obviously, with the biggest arm, he's a natural. Like, the dude is a natural. You think of natural, you think of, like, other kinds of ability. That dude is a natural quarterback, man. If he could do this as a rookie. ESPN football analyst Dan Orlovsky, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up next, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN2 presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming up next, we have Key Observations. And Key Observations is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Key, what you got?
Number one,
the Miami Dolphins. Look, whatever you do, don't be a prisoner of the moment with Tua Tagovailoa at the quarterback spot. I know he's played decent of late, but remember, you had issue with him at the quarterback spot since you drafted him. You didn't want to start him. You had Fitzpatrick. Then all of a sudden, you made a play for Deshaun Watson. Don't all of a sudden think that this is going to be the long-term answer and solution for you playing against the New York Giants. Don't get fooled.
Number two.
Mike Zimmer, Minnesota Vikings head coach. Seems like his days are numbered in Minnesota. The Vikings can't get out of their own way to save their life. It's just one of those deals. You just lost to the Detroit damn Lions. You gave the Lions their first victory of the season with Jared Goff. And I know Coach Zim's got to be sick to his stomach. Got to be.
Number three.
Justin Herbert, Dan Orlovsky and myself and us, we just talked about Joe Burrow versus Justin Herbert. But you can't sit there and tell me that some people in that organization saw Joe Burrow yesterday and some of the mistakes that was made, but then saw Justin Herbert and said, damn, we could have had that. The ability to throw the football back across the field on a 50-50 ball that his receiver won in that matchup. A lot of great things came out of this, but if I was them, I'd probably be saying the same thing too. I wish I had Justin Herbert, even though I got Joe Burrow.
Number four.
The Chiefs, the Kansas City Chiefs, still the best team in the AFC. Even if they look offensively somewhat pedestrian, they're still the best team in the AFC. They got the best quarterback going. The receivers are getting open. All they got to do is catch the football. And the defense is playing much better than they were the first half of the season. And when you have a recipe like that, just because we only scored 22 points, but guess what? The other team did outscore, so we get the W.
Number five,
Lamar Jackson. We just had a conversation about him as well. Talked about how can they not protect him and allow him to be the best that he could possibly be. Well, he is. That he is his own protection. I'm writing a check. No, better yet, I'm going to let him write the check. What is it that you need? When do you need it? And how much do you need? Here, just write the number in there and I'll sign it. That's what you do with Lamar Jackson. It's not even a conversation about negotiating. You want $500 million? Let's figure out how to get it to you.
Yeah, $100 million. You got him on the cheap for $100.
I did. Pat put $100. I think he just wrote a number. Maybe it's $100 a year.
Mm. The guarantee better be twice that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Contract. He can get what he wants, and then some.
Jay, what do you got that you that key didn't go?
Yeah, on? Just my one observation would just be a shout out to the DMV area, just the Washington football team. Now they've won 4 in a row. That defense, for over their past 5 straight games, have held their opponents to 21 or fewer opponents. This is a team without Chase Young, by the way, who's been out. You could talk about, I mean, they're, yeah, your Raiders, by the way. By the way, your Raiders, 0-6 when Derek Carr does not throw for over 300 yards. Over 300 yards. Hmm. But all I'm saying, Antonio Gibson, these boys, they're right there. 6-6 in the NFC East. Then I know that the Cowboys are 8-4. Next game is at home against the Cowboys. It just sets up for one of those mucky NFC East games.
Tighter than you figured it would be by now.
That's what I was saying prior to the Cowboys versus the Saints. I said if they lose to the Saints, the Washington football team is going to be looking right up their rear end.
One thing I want to get back to on key observations is the Tagovailoa thing. I hear you, Key, but here's the thing. Like, he was called, he's a left-handed Drew Brees. I'm not saying he's a left-handed Drew Brees, but let's use Drew Brees as a comp because he was like a short guy.
Yeah.
Drew Brees was awful as – well, didn't start as a rookie. Maybe got into one game, but didn't start as a rookie, okay? Tagovailoa, coming off of a catastrophic injury, did start as a rookie. I'm not holding that against him, as you would say, right? Year two, Drew Brees was awful. He was terrible. Year three, he got benched. Right. And then by year four, he was balling out of control. But still, because of injury concern, they didn't offer him like the type of contract that would be a no brainer. And he winds up going to Sean Payton and a Dome, and the rest is history. This is only to his second year. He's had 2 games recently in his last 3 with over 80% completion. And then yesterday's like 70 mid high, like
3 straight over 70% completion.
Like, yeah, when it was almost 75. I mean, dude, Key, he's a baby still.
Yeah, but think about this. What did they do with Drew Brees in San Diego? They drafted Phillip Rivers. Yep. Guess why? Because they didn't believe in Drew Brees. What did the Dolphins do as rookie year? They had Fitzy. Then after that, they flirted around with the idea of getting another quarterback. So that
just tells you
right there, they're not satisfied and happy with him at the quarterback spot. So don't get stuck in that prisoner of the moment type situation. And you have the right to always go back and revisit what you thought he was and say to yourself, you know what? We may be making a mistake. Mm. Let's see. But in this business, a coaching business, you don't have time to make mistakes.
But how long
this isn't a 10-year, you know, they don't give you 10-year window.
Yeah, it's changed.
My question is, though, how long does the prisoner of the moment thing last? It's not like, I mean, my man's been doing this for 5 straight games. It has been a lot of, like, volatility, right? I mean, injuries, other things in that sort for him as well. Like, it finally feels like he's found some kind of rhythm, Key.
And that may be true. I mean, it was the New York Giants, though, man. Let's be honest with ourselves.
I mean, I hear you can only play the teams in front of you.
Yeah, but when
Panthers,
you,
Jets, Ravens, Texans, I hear
he
you.
He beat the Ravens. They beat the Ravens. But them other 4 teams, come on. Be honest.
Key, but I'm using kind of your thing.
This is a team that lost to the Jags though earlier. I mean,
I get it, but when you look at it, is he the type of quarterback that's going to get you where you want to go? They clearly don't feel that way because they wouldn't have been dancing with somebody else.
I just feel like you're winning the games you're supposed to win. Like before, you're losing to the Jags, you're losing to the Falcons. Like now you feel like you're going to those games as a Dolphins fan. My friends are Dolphins fans. Like, all right, we feel like we're going to win these games. Against better teams, we're not sure. Not sure yet.
I use Key. I'm with you on quarterback development, though. I think everyone wants to microwave it nowadays, and you got to let it. You got to put it in the oven and let it bake, let it cook a little more.
Slow, 350.
And this dude, if he's on 350, he's on pace right now. Like, let's see what happens here to me. I think he's done enough for them to say, let's see what happens here.
All right. Well, there's an offseason that's coming.
All phone guests of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max join us via the Goodyear Hotline. A surprising firing in the NFL and where that coach might land next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN 2. You can tweet us on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed, at Key, J, and Max. Call us at 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. Guys, let's run a little A to Z. Waiting for, do we have any sound we'd like to play? A little production.
Sound is the music.
Already played. Thank you very much. I got it. Panthers announced over the weekend that Joe Brady had been let go as offensive coordinator, according to ESPN Panthers reporter David Newton. Brady never committed to the run game the way Matt Rhule wanted. Rhule wanted to have at least 30 to 33 rushes a game. In Carolina last game, Brady only called 16 rushes. Earlier, Key asked Paul Feinbaum if newly hired head Oklahoma coach Brent Venables should hire Brady or Chad Morris, and here's what Paul Feinbaum said.
I'm not sure I would hire either one of them, Keyshawn. And I know Joe Brady got all this great praise after the Joe Burrow experience, but you guys saw what he did in Carolina, and it was, quite frankly, pretty embarrassing. I wouldn't hire Joe Brady. And the name that is circling around that I think is interesting to keep your eye on is Jeff Lebby. He played at Oklahoma. He's Lane Kiffin's offensive coordinator, Keyshawn, as you well know. And a lot of people think he was really the secret behind what Ole Miss did this year with Matt Corral.
Yeah, I look at this, and the reason I brought up the names Chad Morris and Joe Brady, because Chad was with Clemson when they won the national title, and he was the offensive coordinator, and Brent was the defensive coordinator. Then Joe Brady just won a national title a couple years ago, the orchestra of that offense at LSU with Justin Jefferson and Joe Burrow. So I just figured high-octane offense. You got two high-octane coordinators that dial it up. Chad is from the Texas area, former Arkansas head coach, former SMU head coach, recruited that kind of area. There, he's familiar with the SEC. But if it doesn't make sense, then Jeff Lebby, for sure, who's the offensive coordinator at Ole Miss, who I believe even coached at Oklahoma for a short stint there, having him, yeah, that's still the same high-octane offense that throw the ball all over the lot. Why not?
I'm just curious with Sam Darnold, his up-and-down play this year, with Christian McCaffrey being hurt, coming back and hurt again. Like, is Matt Rhule's job, is he feeling a little bit of pressure here? You feeling pressure? I know he has a lot of years left on his team, but are you starting to feel a little pressure?
Could be.
Considering you make this change right now?
But I think
there was, in the season?
I think it was something else behind the Joe Brady hire. So I feel like maybe he was trying to get a job somewhere or something, one of these college jobs and it kind of probably ticked off Matt Rhule.
It is interesting, though, when Tepper bought the team, he had good things in place. And he's like, yeah, this is good. I have the guts to say, let's tear it down. I could do better. Coordinator gone. Quarterback gone.
Gettleman gone.
Gettleman gone. Well, I'm not saying he did all bad things, but the point is that right now it looks like the next head to roll would be the coach if they don't get it turned around, right?
Well, he's had some injuries.
Yep.
You know, like Jay said, Christian McCaffrey been banged up, but Joe Brady, so much promise coming from LSU as
Hottest
the guy who signed off on Teddy Bridgewater, and then, look, he's gone, what, 2 years later, 3 years later?
What did you say about hot head coaches, Key?
Yeah.
The Steelers pulled out a big win over the Ravens on Sunday, but the questions facing Big Ben after the game were all about the report that came out over the weekend from Adam Schefter that Roethlisberger privately has told former teammates and some within the organization that he expects this to be his final season playing in Pittsburgh. Here's what he said about that report.
Well, I haven't told everybody that. You know, honestly, we just got done with this game. I'm exhausted. And we play in a couple hours, it feels like. And so that's my focus. My focus is on Minnesota and what we have to do to get ready. I'll address any of that stuff after the season. I've always been a one game at a time, one season at a time person, and I'm going to stay that way.
Yeah,
I love it.
He should be. One game at a time, one season. You know, this is his last year, though. What?
Last year in Pittsburgh? I think that's the key.
This will be his last year in the NFL.
So why did they? Why the report came out? But see, like when you see something come out and it says in Pittsburgh, that makes me think, wait a minute, is he planning on playing somewhere else?
Man, you watch Ben move around in the pocket.
I'm with you, Jay. That's why it was curious to me.
Where is he going to play?
I don't know.
Canada?
I mean, look, to me, especially Roethlisberger, you call it a career with the Steelers,
yes.
Of course. I'm just wondering why it was in Pittsburgh inserted in there.
I don't know. I didn't write it. So I really wouldn't know. But come on, man. Look, he's my starting quarterback until we are mathematically eliminated from the playoff contention. Once that happens, he ain't my starting quarterback.
And you got to look at Haskins.
Yeah, I got to look to see what else I got.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with it.
It ain't Mason Rudolph.
Ben had some nice throws yesterday. That's cool.
All right. So who do you trust more with the game on the line? Pittsburgh, by the way, for people who thought they were just going to fall apart, Tomlin's never been under 500. They're now 6-5-1. Game on the line.
Mm-hmm.
Game on the line. Baker, Stefanski, or Tomlin and Roethlisberger?
Come on, man. Why are you even going to ask that question? Tomlin, Roethlisberger.
Yeah, that's not even a question. It's just funny, though, because at the beginning of the season – you would have easily said Baker.
I still would have said Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin.
Well, that's fine.
We
talked about the Browns being Super Bowl contenders. Ben being the worst quarterback
in the
division.
I didn't say for a whole game who would you take. I said
just
game on the line.
Okay, yeah.
Right. Yeah, just on the line. Yeah. Like the last minute 30 of a game, who would you trust?
Yeah, as opposed to there's a big game you have to win. You know, if Baker's healthy, although that's the other thing. Baker's a little guy. He might
even if Baker's 100% healthy. I'm taking Ben
for the
damn
whole
Roethlisberger.
Game? For the whole game?
Yeah,
that's my point.
But wait, who are
it.
We
that's
playing, though?
To me now.
Yeah.
That's what we're
who
at.
Are we playing is the key. Who are we playing?
The Ravens or the Bengals? A divisional rival.
That's what I'm saying. We came a long way from the beginning of the year to where we are now. We have to think about that question.
No, because it just depends on who we're playing, too, though.
I know, but can you know what
if
I'm saying,
if I'm playing the
man?
Jaguars, I'm taking Roethlisberger.
Two losses in New York. Giants and Jets.
Really?
But which was worse? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.